think we could do this Wednesday?
When he comes out of day, he says, man, who messed with my amp? I got a house. I said, Scott. He said,
tell him me.
I told him. He couldn't figure out nothing.
Yeah, it sounded
think,
good until
he reached
my
that bass sounds
different. I like that song.
Y'all think we're good to play it Wednesday?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll try it Wednesday.
Time to change focuses. You know, we've been having COVID-19 around for most of the year. We've been having protests and riots going on, and we've been having politics. And I was hoping it would be over by now, but it's not quite over yet. But it was time to change our focus. You know, Pastor Kathy and I have decided instead of watching the news for the next year or two, we're just going to watch Andy Griffith and reruns. You know, I mean. You know, we want to enjoy life, all right, and not get all jacked up watching what's been going on. And so we started this series called Choose Joy, because I don't know about you, but when I look around, I don't see a lot of joy out and about. There's a lot of anger out there. And so I think it's time for joy. I think it's time. Everybody wants joy, but it seems like so many people are angry about something. You've got different sides of the political situation are angry. You've got people that are losing jobs or getting jobs, whatever. Everybody seems to be angry. But I want to tell you this morning, I believe joy is the birthright of every Christian. Not necessarily happiness, but joy. And I'll talk a little bit about the difference. I believe God's plan is for his followers, that's you and me, to have joy. Not just any kind of joy, but a contagious joy, a constant joy, a joy that's conspicuous. That when people see you, they say something's different about that guy. Something's different about that lady. And it's Jesus in us. And so that's the kind of joy. Matter of fact, the second shortest verse in the Bible, I think I heard somebody say it in the Greek, it might be the shortest, but it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and it says this, always be joyful. Real simple sentence, always be joyful. And so we've got that. And so I believe God wants us to be joyful. Now, we talked about last week a little bit that in the prophecy about Jesus, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah described what he was going to do. And in Isaiah 61:3, it says Jesus would console those who mourn in Zion. He'd console those. There's a lot of people who are grieving and mourning. It said to give them beauty for ashes and oil for mourning, oil of joy for mourning. And so he's coming to bring joy back to people, to comfort people who are hurting. And we have people who are hurting in so many different ways. This year has been a year where people have isolated, and so loneliness has been a big thing in people, and depression and anxiety and all those things. And so he said, I'm going to give you an oil for mourning. Now, oil in the Bible is talking about, it's like a healing balm. Oil is not the kind of oil we think of. Oil symbolizes the healing balm of Jesus, the healing balm of God, where when you anoint with oil, you're bringing healing to people. And so he said, I'm going to give you oil of joy for mourning. And so those who struggle with depression, anxiety, and grief, he's saying, hey, listen, I'm bringing you the oil of joy to give you. And then he goes on, he says, I'm going to give them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I talked about this last week. In our country, I believe there's a spirit of heaviness. When you see the rioting going on, when you see the anger in the streets and the anger in our politics and in the news media, that's not just the circumstances going on. That is a spiritual battle going on. You see, there's a spirit behind anger, and so that's it's a spirit of darkness that's in our land. And man, I believe God wants to heal that. And so Jesus came to give us joy in the middle of all of that darkness, of all that spirit of darkness that's going on. And we want to get rid of that spirit of heaviness. People are heavy with problems with things. And so Jesus came to give us that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want you to write this down. Here's something about joy you need to know. Joy doesn't find you. You have to find it. Joy doesn't find you. You have to find it. There's a story I read about a woman that lost her keys. Anybody ever lost your keys? Some of y'all need to go ahead and raise your hand. I mean, not enough of y'all raised them. I mean, this woman lost her keys. She looked over everywhere. She looked all over for her keys. And man, she just, once she looked everywhere, she finally looked in her purse, and there they were, in her purse. And so you've probably done that before too, where they were they were where they should have been. You just didn't know it. But I want to ask you, why did she find the keys in her purse? Because that's where she left them, right? But why didn't she find the keys everywhere else she left them or looked? Because she was looking in the wrong place. And let me tell you, you will not find joy until you look in the right place. Too often we're looking in the wrong places for joy. We're looking here and there and all over, and we think that that's going to bring you joy, and doing certain things is going to bring you joy and all that, and it won't. Now, we were around a lot of joyful people yesterday down in the French Quarter. You're going, how in the world did you do that? Well, they were having a praise protest down there. Right there by in the square, there was about 1,500 to 2,000 people out there worshiping the Lord. It was awesome. And so there was some joy there. But you've got to look in the right place to find joy. And so that's why people aren't finding it. So last week we looked at Paul. And now Paul, I love Paul. I always talk about Paul and said, you know, Paul is like a Timex watch. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking, right? And so Paul was kind of that way. Paul had been beaten. Paul twice or three times was beaten the same way Jesus was. He was flogged to where they just beat him to a pulp. He was beaten with rods several times and left for dead. He was stoned. And I know some of y'all are thinking recreationally. No. He was stoned where they pick up rocks and throw at you until you're dead. And so left for dead. He was shipwrecked. Floated. Now, I've been to the Mediterranean. I don't want to float day and night in the Mediterranean without a boat. And so he was floating in the Mediterranean day and night. He finally washes up on an island. He's building a fire. He reaches to get a stick, and a snake bites it. And, I mean, so Paul had all this stuff happen, yet he chose to be joyful. He wrote a list of all the things that went wrong in his life, but here's the way it concluded. He said, I'm sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Circle that yet on your outlines if it's on there. He said, I'm sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. That was Paul's attitude. He chose to look at the glass half full and so the glass half empty. It's an attitude choice. I mean, think about it. What do you do with a guy that's got joy like Paul had? I mean, think about it. We're going to put you in prison if you don't stop preaching. Oh, would you? Would you? I'm almost finished with Ephesians. I need to, just a couple of weeks if you'll throw me in prison. I can finish Ephesians. You know what I mean? What do you do with that guy? Hey, look, we're just going to cut your head off if you don't stop preaching. Oh, would you? To die is gain, to live is Christ. I mean, you can't do anything with Paul. And that's where we need to be. That's where I want to be. Every day we've got to make a choice, and we've got to learn to choose joy. It's a choice. Now, God wants you to have great joy, I believe, no matter what the circumstances are. Now, that's not happiness. I mean, happiness is when you are eating that Bluebell ice cream, right? Or when you're like me, you go for the banana split instead of the one scoop. You know, we were at Cold Stone one time, and everybody's getting a small one. And I said, well, I'm going to get a bigger one. And I mean, it looked like a whole gallon of ice cream in that cone. I mean, it was like everybody started laughing. You know, and you're happy while you're eating it until you get on the scales the next morning. Then you're not happy. But joy isn't something that occurs by our outside circumstances. And God wants you to have joy. So last week, we learned the first choice is to pray. We've got to pray first and not pray last. Too often, we try and fix it first. And then when we get in a mess, we go, oh, God, save me. Isn't that what we do? Sure it is. That's exactly what we do. I don't know about y'all, but that's what I do too much. But so today is going to be a tough choice. It's the tougher choice. I'm calling it the daily choice because it's the choice of purity. So write that down. The second choice is the choice of purity. Now, a lot of us aren't experiencing joy because we hide sin. And that causes shame, which robs us of joy. So anytime that I'm hiding sin or I'm holding sin in my life, big or little, it's going to rob you of your joy because it causes shame. So in John 10:10, Jesus said this, the thief, now I want you on your outline where it says thief, write down devil. That's who he's talking about. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Just like God has a lot of names that show his function, this is a name for the devil that shows his function. He's a thief, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. Jesus said, though my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Compare those two lists right there. You know, people think that, hey, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up all my fun stuff. God's going to take away my being able to go fishing, hunting, or doing whatever, or my ability to go to my condo, or my ability to just go have fun. No, God isn't the one that takes it away. The devil is the thief. God said, I want to give you a rich and satisfying life. He wants you to have the best life possible. And so the devil's the one that steals. God's not the one that takes away. God adds value to our lives. God adds value to our lives. And he wants you to have a rich and satisfying life. That's what Jesus said. Some translations say the abundant life. It's a rich and satisfying life. That's what God wants you to have. I can remember when I was younger, before I actually made my commitment to Christ, I was raised in church. So around church people, I was a good Christian boy. Around my friends, you know, I wasn't a good Christian boy. But I was miserable because of that. And I remember when I finally, made that choice to get off that fence, the peace that I felt inside. See, John 10:10, where he said, I came to give you peace, that was why I became a Christian. You see, I wanted that inner peace when I closed my eyes. And so when I did that, when I was no longer hiding that sin, I felt joy. I want you to write this down. Sin steals your joy. When you hold it in, when you're trying to, hey, I'm going to walk as close to sin as I can over here, sin steals your joy. Sin steals your joy. Look what David said in the Psalms. He said in chapter 32, he said, blessed. Now that's happy. Blessed is happy as the one, or joyful as the one. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. Now, transgressions are sins. They could be a crime, something like they're big sins. Transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Now, he's saying, look, happy's the one who the Lord has forgiven his sins, his transgression. He's not holding in deceit, but when you're holding that deceit in, you're gonna lose your joy. And he said, happy is the one. And then look what he says in verse 3. He said, David said, when I kept silent about my sin, is what he's talking about. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Does that sound like anything fun? No. He said, when I was holding my sin in, before I got right with God, he said, my bones, he said, wasted away, groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. It just wore David out. He had sinned, and he was holding it in. And he said this in verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you. That's repentance. He said, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. He came clean with God. That's what he did. He just said, all right, God, I'm not hiding it anymore. I mean, you know, we all want to, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm different than anybody else. We will confess some sins, and then there's some we want to hold on to, you know. And David just let it all out. He let it all. He said, I did not cover up my iniquity. He said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And look what happened. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. You see, as soon as he acknowledged his sin to God, he confessed it, he repented of his sin, God forgave him the guilt of his sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters won't reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. This is God. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like those. This is God talking. Don't be like the horse or the mule. All right, guys. Don't raise your hand, but has your wife ever called you a horse or a mule because you were stubborn? He said, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit or bridle. They will not come to you. He said, many are the woes of the wicked, but, circle the but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts him. And then he finishes it off. He says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing all you who are upright in heart. So he's saying here, listen. He said, blessed are you when your sins are forgiven. He said, when we keep silent, we lose that joy, that happiness. But when we acknowledge it, God forgives it. And then we can rejoice. And I mean, listen, let me tell you, he knows what you did. He knows what you're thinking. And he still loves you. And he still loves you. And so sin not only steals our joy, but it'll kill our lives. It'll kill our lives. Write that down. It not only impacts your life, but impacts the lives around you. Remember Jonah? He's running from what God wanted him to do. His sin almost caused everybody on the boat to drown until they threw him overboard. And so I don't know. You know, sin will impact every area of your life. You know, what'll happen is when you're holding that sin in, it'll impact your relationships. And your relationships will get bad. And it'll impact your job. You know, when you're holding anger in, hey, look, you lose your temper at your job. See how that works with you and your boss or with your kids or school. It impacts everything. And sometimes we need kind of a wake-up call. I can remember, you know, I was going to these groups called Campus Life. I've been raised in church. I was going to these groups very much like the way we would do youth group now, but it was a new thing back then. And so I went, my friends and I, we used to always go to the meetings, but we always wanted to go to the fun meetings. What they would do is they'd have a fun meeting one week, to draw a lot of people, and then they would have more of a Bible study the next week. Some of those people would go to the Bible study. My friends and I, we always tried to go to the fun ones. So we'd go to three or four different schools. So we landed at this school, and we were on the wrong night. It was a Bible study night. And so we're in a small group. We were trapped, and they said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to describe your relationship with Jesus. I went, say what? I'm trying to see if I could go to the bathroom or something, you know. But, you know, I was there, and I was stuck. And you know what? The turning point was I admitted that I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I'd been in church. I'd heard it all, but I didn't have that relationship with Jesus. Now, the next week is when the guy challenged me, John Elder challenged me to get off the fence. And so that night, I got off the fence, and I received Christ. And so, you know, sin will steal your joy. And what happened to me once I prayed in my house by myself at night, I felt a load lifted off of me, and I felt a peace right in here, inside, that I didn't have before. And the next day on the way to school, I couldn't wait to tell some of my friends about that decision. And interestingly, two or three of them had made the same choice the same night. And so it was cool. But sin will destroy, it'll kill your life. What it'll do is it'll set you on a slippery path. Look at Psalm 73. He says this, truly you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. My hope is that if you're on that slippery path, you'll choose to repent like David did, like I did, before you go over the cliff, okay? You know, God's trying to get people's attention. And I know some people that God's trying to get your attention. Doesn't want you to go over the cliff of destruction. He said, in an instant, they're destroyed and completely swept away by the terrors. And so some people, you're hearing me on Facebook, and God is trying to get your attention. Some people in this room, God is trying to get your attention. And so you don't want to, you want to heed that and do what David did, which is turn around. Sin destroys our identity. Write that down. Sin destroys our identity. David said, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go around mourning. Not like the daytime mourning, but mourning grieving. Let me tell you something. Some of you are living a version of yourself that's different than the version God created you to do, to live. Some of you are living a version of yourself that's different than the one God sees in you. You've taken on the identity of something God never intended you to take. My dad was an alcoholic, so I'm an alcoholic. My dad drank, so I'm drinking. I'm a drinker. My dad was a philanderer, so I'm a philanderer. Just so I don't get too bad on dads. My mom was over controlling, so that's the way I am. I mean, you know, whatever, you know, and so you've identified with your stronghold. We've been talking about strongholds on Wednesdays, and let me tell you, you don't identify with your stronghold. That's the thing I don't like about AA. They'll say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not. You're a child of God if you're a Christian, and alcohol may be something you struggle with. Your identity is not what you struggle with, it's who you are. It's who God created you to be. And some of y'all listening are here living a life that God never intended you to live because you've identified with a stronghold in your life. Let me just say this. That's not the way you are. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. And, you know, I mean, God would say to you, listen, I know what you did. I know what you're thinking, but that's not who you are. This is who you are. See, God sees potential. I was telling somebody about George King. This week. See, you know, the devil would say, hey, man, you're a murderer and you're going to spend your life in prison. God said, man, I see a chaplain at Parchment Prison. That's what God said. And so guess what? That circle just spilled out. Now George King's a chaplain at Parchment Prison, Penitentiary of Mississippi. I mean, God does that kind of thing because God sees in you something different than what the devil sees in you, what you're seeing yourself. Let me write this down. I don't think it's in your outline, it may be, but we cannot feel guilty and happy at the same time. You just can't do it. You can't feel guilty and happy at the same time. If you're feeling guilty, you're going to be like David. My bones were wasting away. My energy was sapped. You can't be guilty and happy. So what do we do? You know, the answer is one of the most positive words in the Bible, but it gets a negative connotation today. It gets a negative connotation. It's the word repent. Repent. A lot of people think, you know, repent is this bad, it's a big spiritual word. Here's what repent means. You're going this way, and you do a U-turn and go this way. Where I grew up, you couldn't make a U-turn. You'd get pulled over and get a ticket. I moved down here, you can't make a left turn. Repent is just this. You're going towards your sin, you turn around, and you come back towards God. That's what repent is. You just change directions. Acts 3:19 says this. Paul, in Acts, it says, now repent of your sins. When Peter was preaching, he said, now repent of your sins and turn to God. Repent. Turn away from your sins and turn to God. That's what repentance is. And that's a daily thing we've got to do. We've got to every day make that choice to repent and turn to God. And then look what he says. He said that your sins may be wiped away, and then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Anybody need some refreshment in your life? Anybody need some times of refreshment? Where does that come from? Does that come from CNN? Does that come from Fox? Does that come from your candidate winning or losing the election? Does that come from anything? It comes from the presence of God. That's why it was fun to be down there yesterday. And if I hate the French Quarter, y'all. I mean, if I never went down there again, it was fine. But we went down there. I paid $18 to park and go lift my hands and worship, you know. And it was fun. It was good to be in the presence of God. Now, I didn't jump quite as well as some of those younger ones. But, you know, they're used to jumping. But I have my rhythm going. To be in the joy comes from the presence of God. So times of refreshment. Psalms 32:1 in the Living Bible, I love what it says. It says, what happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joy is for when sins are covered over, and what relief. Look at that. Happiness, joy, and relief. When you repent, that's what happens. Happiness in your life, joy in your life, and relief. Hey, when you come clean, you don't have to worry about it anymore. God takes care of it. You don't have to worry about him finding out. You know, just think. Adam and Eve were hiding from God in the garden. They'd put leaves on. And so they're hiding. When God finally found them, I'm sure they were relieved. You know, there was a consequence for what they did, but they were relieved. Happiness, joy, and relief. And that's what we can have when we turn away from our sin and turn to God when we repent. One of the biggest repentance chapter in the Bible is probably Psalms 51. That's where David wrote this after committing adultery with Bathsheba. He should have been out fighting with his army, but he was home. He was up on the roof, and he saw Bathsheba committed adultery with her. She had a baby, and then he killed her husband. It doesn't get any worse than that. But David kept repenting and repenting, and Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance. And listen to what he said. He said, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He said, wash away. He said, wash me like a bath. Lord, just wash me. You know, one of the things sometimes when you've been in a traumatic situation, you want to change clothes, you want to shower, whatever. You might not be dirty, it's just you feel like you need to change. I've been on some horrific scenes where the deputies came back in, and the first thing they want to do is get out of their gear and put on a T-shirt, and just because it's a change. And that's what he's saying, wash me. The blank for that is daily choose to put to death my old nature. I'm going to daily choose. Wash me, God. I'm going to daily allow you to wash me. I'm going to choose to put to death my old nature. You get to choose. You know, you might be like me. All right, Lord. You know, when I'm getting ready to go driving somewhere, Lord, you know how I drive. Please don't let anybody recognize me. I mean, no, that's not what I pray. You struggle with anger. Lord, you know how I struggle with anger. You know I'm going to be dealing with a situation today. Lord, help me. Help me right now. And so you put to death that old nature. Maybe it's lying or spending or whatever it is. You put to death that old nature. You wake up and you talk to God about it and say, Lord, help me kill that today. Today, I want to be nice to people. I want to love people. You know, I want to drive like I'm a Christian or whatever it is, you know. And so start your day off in prayer. Say yes to God and no to the devil. I mean, that's an everyday thing I've got to do. You know, you've got to say, devil, get out of here Lord, I submit to you. You know what you're facing each day. You say, God, through your strength, I can do this today. And you start that every day. Start your day off that way. Romans 8, 12, verse says this. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters. Now, Paul is saying this. When he says brothers and sisters, that's you and me. He's writing to Christians. And he says, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. In other words, he's saying, Robert, you have no obligation to struggle with anger today. You have no obligation to drive like a crazy man today. You have no obligation. He's saying that to you. You have no obligation to do what your old nature's wanting you to do. And so he says to what your sinful nature wants you to do, but put what it is you struggle with in that place. You're under no obligation to cave in to poor self-image or whatever it is. He said, for if you live by its dictates, you'll die. What's going to die? Well, physically, if you're giving in and living a life that's angry all the time, you're going to die 5 to 7 years earlier than somebody who doesn't. If you're saying, hey, look, I'm just going to give in and not go to church anymore. Well, there are studies have shown that if church attenders live about 8 years longer, 7, 8 years longer than non-church attenders, so you might want to come. You know, if whatever it is, you're going to die. Your relationships. Hey, listen, if you're giving in to your old nature, relationships are going to suffer. You say, well, how can anger hurt me? It'll just blow up at somebody. It'll hurt your job. I know a guy lost his temper to his boss. How many of you know that didn't go well? Wasn't his boss anymore because he didn't work there anymore. I mean, your family, it'll affect everything. But look at the next part. But if through the power of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you'll live. Your relationships will be better. Your job, everything will be better when we put to death this old nature that's always gnawing at you. It's always gnawing at you. It's easy to slip back into anxiousness. It's easy to slip back into anger. It's easy to slip back into different bad habits that we have. But he said, put it to death. Put it to death through the power of the Holy Spirit and you'll live. David said, cleanse me with the hyssop. Now wash is kind of an outside thing. Cleanse is, that's kind of cleaning up the inside, all right? He said, cleanse me with hyssop. And I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. And so he's saying, hey, look, clean me up on the inside. And so number two is daily release my past and take another step towards freedom. You got to release that past. That's an inside job. You've got to consciously say, I'm going to put, yeah, somebody hurt you. I'm going to forgive them and I'm going to move on. You've got to daily release the past and take another step towards freedom. Matter of fact, freedom involves other people. So James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this. Make this your common practice. Now, this needs to be, common practice means you do it all the time. You do it all the time. He says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. In other words, you need to have somebody that you could call and say, you know what, I need a prayer. I'm overwhelmed right now. I need a prayer. A lot of people feeling overwhelmed right now. Have somebody you can talk to. It might be somebody in your family. Might be somebody in this church. Might be somebody in a group. But you've got to have somebody. You can pick that phone up and say, you know what? I don't need an hour. I just need a minute. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. That's where you get that healing. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. And so when you're tempted, maybe you're struggling with an addiction and you're being tempted. You got to have somebody you can call. Where do you think AA got that sponsorship deal? Right here. Confess your sins one to another. You got to have somebody you can call and say, you know what, I'm being tempted to go do something stupid. You got to have a friend you can call that's going to listen to you. You know what happens? Let me just say this. When you have somebody in your life like that, you know, if you're being tempted to go do something and you confess that to somebody, guess what? The temptation goes away. It's amazing. They pray for you, but that temptation will ease because now somebody knows, because sin likes to operate in the dark. It doesn't like to operate in the light. And so when you confess that to other people and somebody knows, you know, And you know they're going to ask you, how'd you do? How'd you do? You know, and so you want to do that. So wash and cleanse. And then in Psalm 51:10, he says this, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast. So he's gone from being washed to being cleansed to creating in me a new heart. So daily pursue God's plan for your life. And it's that new heart. You're now pursuing God's plan for your life. You're not pursuing your plan. He's put in you a new heart, a heart for God, a heart for the things he wants you to do. And so every day you ask God, Lord, create in me a pure heart. How do we do that? Look at Romans 12:2. I love this passage. He said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. As Christians, we got to stop copying the behavior and customs of this world. What are those behaviors? Might be how we dress, how we talk, how we act. We want to sit over here and fit in. We want to fit in. Remember when the people of Israel, when the nation of Israel, they had judges that would hear from God and talk to them. But they said, we want a king so we can be like everybody else. And they got what they asked for. And it wasn't always good. We got to stop conforming to the pattern of everybody else. That means as Christians, folks, we don't depend on how an election turns out, whether you liked it or didn't like it. We serve a king who'll never be dethroned. The King of Kings doesn't change out every 4 years. He's there forever. And we serve a king who never changes. And so you don't serve that other stuff. So we've got to pursue. I don't know about y'all, but I need to change the way I think every day. And so we all need to allow God to transform us by changing the way we think. We've got to be able to do that. I mean, and as you read, how do we do that? Well, you might want to stop watching CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and all those, and just get into the Word. Maybe you need to get into the Word. Watch TBN, watch God TV, watch some of those stations, and change the way you think about things. Change the way you think about things. And then it says this, then you will learn God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. You see, once we stop trying to walk over here as close as I can to sin and not sin. I used to have kids ask me that all the time. Is this a sin? No, that's not. What about this? Is this a sin? They're wanting to get as close to sin because they think sin's fun. And it is for a minute. You got to change. You got to change from that and let God transform you into the person by changing the way you think. Then you'll know God's will. As long as you're over here walking the line, you're not going to find God's will for your life. You got to get all in. You got to get all in. So stop trying to be like the rest of the people and let God change you. Let God change you. Number four, daily live a life that impacts others. Write that down. Daily live a life that impacts others. In Psalm 51:12, he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So we've gone wash, cleanse, create, now restore. Restore in me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. And then look what he says. Then I will teach your ways. You see, now you're living a life that's going to impact other people. You've had God wash you. You've had him cleanse you on the inside. He's created in you a new heart for him. And now he's going to use you to help other people. He said, then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. See, he can use us once we've gone through this. Now you're living a life to impact. Let me tell you, I don't believe that you'll ever really know the joy of your salvation until you learn to live a life that impacts others. And to do that, we've got to be washed. We've got to be cleansed. We've got to have God create in us a new heart. And then he'll restore us. That's just a process we go through. All of us get off track sometimes. And we need God to cleanse us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to restore. Let me tell you, that's a process we need. And I don't believe you'll find joy until you start serving the Lord in some way. I mean, joy comes from from washing, cleansing, creating, and restoring, from serving. My goal today is for, if you don't know Jesus, for you to take that step of salvation. But say you know Jesus, but you're struggling with your joys, for you to take the next step. Maybe you're going to get a one-year Bible, and you're going to start reading the Word every day. You're going to start having that first 15 quiet time every day. Maybe you're going to say, hey, you know what, I'll come serve in some way. I'll help with children once a month, or I'll help greet, or I'll help usher, or I'll help with this outreach, or, you know, I'm going to start doing something. And you'll start seeing joy come back. You'll start seeing joy come back. And so joy comes from that. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Well, before you do that, you can write this last blank. I know some of y'all are looking at you blank. Y'all be distracted through this whole prayer time. Joy's more than a feeling. It's a way of living. Joy's more than a feeling. It's a way of living. Now you can bow your heads. I want to ask you this. How many of you here today? How many of you here today? You've got something in your conscience. Or how many of you listening? You've got something in your conscience that you just like to clear up today. Well, you can do that. You can leave it here, or you can take it with you. I want to encourage you to leave it here. Give it to God. Right now, every head bowed, I just want you to, right here. I mean, God will take what you give him, and he'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. He will create in you a pure heart, and he will restore you. That's the process he wants to do. But you got to give him. You got to give it to him. You've got to confess. You've got to come clean with God like David did. And that may be you here today. And I want you to just think. You ask God what it is. You need to. He'll tell you. He's been telling you. And some people either watching or in here, maybe you're like me. You were going to church. You're Christian with your Christian friends, but with your non-Christian friends, you were anything but a Christian. And maybe you need to say, you know what, today I'm going to get off the fence. I'm going to receive Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity to do that. And the prayer I pray is nothing fancy. There's no magic words in it, but it's the prayer I prayed years ago that changed my life. Because the Bible says if you pray it and you mean it, that God comes into your life. And so I just want to give you an opportunity right now. If you don't know, if you're not sure that you know Jesus, or you just, maybe you've been playing the game a little bit, and you want to make that decision today, I want you to pray this with me, whether you're online or you're here. Dear God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Come into my life and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Be the Lord of my life and give me your strength to live for you every day. In Jesus' name. That's just how simple it is. But if you mean that, if you prayed that and you meant it, Jesus just came into your heart. The Holy Spirit is in your heart. Jesus just forgave you of your sin, and he moved you into his family, and now you're a child of God. Now, if you're here today and you've been struggling with maybe just not living a life of joy, maybe you've got this stronghold of anxiety or depression or anger or whatever it is, you just want to get it cleared up with God. I want you to just, every head bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to give that to the Lord right now. If you've got something you want to clear up, and you're saying, hey, I want the joy, and I'm letting God know what my transgressions are, and I'm asking him to wash me and cleanse me of that problem and to create in me a pure heart and then to restore me to the joy of his salvation. If that's you today, I just want you to slip your hand up. I'm the only one looking. Just put your hand up on Facebook. I don't know what you can do. You can put it in the chat bar and send me a private message if you want to. Lord, you see these hands that are up. People that they want their joy restored. And so, God, I pray for each person with their hand up, God, that you would, in fact, restore the joy of your salvation to them. Lord, that as they choose joy, you'll fill it with your joy, the joy of your salvation, God. Lord, I pray that each one, you will wash us, that you will cleanse us, that you'll create a pure heart in whatever area it is we're struggling in. And you'll restore us, God, to the joy of your salvation. Lord, now for those who are sick, I pray for healing. But we have so many that are sick and fighting, whether it's cancer or different things. Lord, we pray for healing for each person here, or each person that's represented by somebody here. People fighting depression, loneliness, anxiety. A lot of people worried, God. Just, Lord, we pray for them. Now I want you guys, if you just pray with me. Don't know how long my mama has. I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning just asking God to take her in her sleep. She's so ready to go to heaven, and I'm just praying for that homecoming for her. So, God, you know her desires. You know our church loves her. We pray, God, that you take her. Take her the way she wants to go, to be with you. It's in Jesus' name. Guys, as we leave here, we got a song. We're going to choose joy today. Let me tell you, my little mama, she's happy. She's having a conversation in the hospital. And she's talking to Jesus. I didn't hear his side of the conversation. But her side was, why can't I come with you tonight? And I'm guessing she's talking to Jesus. There wasn't anybody else in the room but me, her, and Jesus. And so she's ready. So y'all just pray for her and pray for me and my brother. All right, God bless you. Let's stand up and worship.